to find in the morning paper. It's hard to find in the magazine. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. If it's on talk radio, the truth is on talk radio.
All right, folks, we're back. Hour two of the National Intel Report, 223.09. Here we go. All right. Bring up Reverend Ted Pike. He needs some assistance in what he's doing here. It's rather important, folks. It has to do with the hate crimes. National Prayer Network, the website truthtellers.org, on the subject of the anti-hate bill, Senate 1145 and its companion prostitution bill, H.R. 2662, which Representative John Conyers wants to introduce in place of the short version H-254, which is now in the House Judiciary. Ted, Reverend Ted Pike, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, John.
I'm not going to ask how you are because you've been as busy as a dog with I can't even count the tails. But you said you told me something today that was very, very disturbing.
Yes, I have been, let's see, I did 16 radio talk shows last week proclaiming the dire threat that we are now facing in the House Judiciary Committee. We have two very dangerous federal hate crimes bills moving through the judiciary. I was told, in fact, by the judiciary that because President Obama is so solidly in favor of this sinister legislation that they're going to be moving these bills through in record time. And I have been contacting not only broadcasting, but I've been writing. I've produced two video documentaries, 10-minute videos. I think you played one of them yesterday.
Actually, last week.
Okay, last week.
It's the one on your site, truthtellers.org.
Good, great. Yeah. That'll break our audience in a little bit to what we're talking about here today. I've also been calling extensively. I called 64 of the largest conservative organizations in America, including focused on the family's 37 state affiliates, explaining in detail to them the imminent threat to freedom posed by these bills. And I also called 30 of the largest pro-life organizations, emphasizing that they are in the crosshairs of this very persecutive legislation, and then countries like Canada, Europe, Australia, and so on, as well as America, we're increasingly finding pro-lifers victimized, harassed, arrested, even imprisoned under hate crimes attitudes and laws. And what is amazing to me is that in spite of all of this activism that I've been trying to generate, talking personally with these organizations from the largest central groups like Focus on the Family and various personalities there, all the way down to the local state chapters. Nevertheless, there seems to be a strange paralysis of the Christian conservative right here in America to do anything as far as sending out even the simplest quarter-page alerts describing the threat and calling for action. And in a recent email alert, which I have posted now at my website, truthtellers.org, I list a whole bunch of them. I guess I have about 10 or 11 here of the very largest and most prestigious Christian conservative organizations, which have absolutely nothing on their websites now that would betray any clue that this ominous legislation is rapidly moving through the House Judiciary Committee, could be up for a vote on the floor of the House before we even know it. And I'm just marveling in this article about the incredible silence. It is true that several smaller ones and one larger one, I believe directly as a result of my calling to them and alerting to them, now have come out with alerts. But the fact is that there are not thousands of calls going into Congress protesting this bill. There are not even hundreds of calls. There are not even dozens of calls a day coming in protesting. But to my dismay, our calling and querying shows that the daily calling mid-last week, was about three or four calls total per day coming in protesting this legislation, which is so massive, so revolutionary to our whole way of life and freedom of speech, that will bring us into a hate crimes bureaucracy like Canada's taking away free speech. And yet, for some strange reason, there is a paralysis, not only among the religious conservative right, but also I think even among many of our own in the more of the far right of the alternative talk radio audiences. There's just I don't know what it is. There seems to be a kind of a shock after the defeat of Ron Paul, a shock after the stimulus bill was passed, etc. And I'm here today, of course, to rouse up the troops and give courage, give idealism again, get those calls going in, because it can save our lives, our freedoms, and those of our children.
Now, I want to make people aware. I want to make people aware here of who has remained mysteriously silent. And if I'm not mistaken, Ted, these people gave you support before, correct?
Well, absolutely. 2 years ago, we started out this way. There was the same oblivion among all these groups to the fact that the hate bill was moving forward through judiciary. And fortunately, I was able to send an email to Bob Unruh, who is a writer on hate crime subjects with WorldNet Daily. And, of course, WorldNet Daily is very prestigious in the religious right. It has 7 million people reading it every day. And he sent out a very fast email, an article in only about 8 hours, and instantly the whole new right was galvanized. These big organizations like American Family Association sent out an emergency alert to their people, and perhaps hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of protest emails, calls, etc. came in. Certainly these organizations are very capable of generating more than a million calls if they really want to go after a subject.
Well, and let me give the listeners out there, the people that you contacted, American Center for Law and Justice, nothing back from them. Christian Coalition, nothing. Family Research Council, silence. Focus on the Family, Lou Dobson's outfit, nothing. Traditional Values Coalition, zip. Coral Ridge Ministries, nothing. Alliance Defense Fund, Liberty Council, the Rutherford Institute, Concerned Women for America, nothing at all.
You can go to their websites today, and undoubtedly it will be the same as yesterday. You'll find absolutely no clue there that there is any kind of freedom-threatening legislation, hate crimes legislation in the House Judiciary. Now, I did call Pastor Rod Parsley's Center for Moral Clarity last week, gave them a strong lecture about how they're going to get some action, and watch my video, and boom, they have a nice presentation just come up on their website just the last day or two, very much against the hate bills, describing them in detail, what they will do, and calling for action. Also, I called Janet Porter of Faith to Action last week, told her to do something. She came up with a good article, which was published in WorldNet Daily, but they are a small minority.
All right, hang on a second. We've got to take this break. Reverend Ted Pike, ladies and gentlemen, truthtellers.org is the site. I'm going to put out some phone numbers today, and we'd better make an attempt of stopping this once again. All right, we are back. Ted, why do you think that you're not hearing back from these people?
Well, I'm not so worried about hearing back from them. I'm worried about them not even putting up the simplest statement on their websites or in their email alert. For example, a Family Research Council is probably the number one supposed watchdog in the nation among the religious right, and yet again and again and again, they are just talking about things that are happening in Congress, relatively smaller issues. They're important, of course, but all of them pale compared to the establishment of a federal hate crimes bureaucracy here in the United States. I'm sure our listeners may remember in the video you played last week, I described how this big federal hate bill, which is H.R. 2, 5, 6, will basically make a person guilty for his counsel. If he counsels someone over the airwaves, through print, even on the street corner, saying that the Bible says that homosexuality is an abomination to God, and some skinhead goes out and bashes on a homosexual, then that person, that counselor who aids and abets, as the language says, this commission of a violent hate crime will stand as a federal hate prisoner in the docket right next to the one who actually did the evil deed. And this is very, very threatening legislation, and it creates a unity between federal hate crimes enforcement and local law enforcement, destroying the Tenth Amendment, destroying states' rights in law enforcement. That is the definition of a police state, when you have federal policing powers and local policing powers united. And it'll also quickly radiate out into a broad speech crimes law as federal judges and so on begin to protect beleaguered homosexuals, not just from physical violence, but from the so-called verbal violence, especially that which comes from the scriptures. And just to continue just a little longer, the second bill, H.R. 262, will create a huge federal hate crimes command center, $10 million a year, undoubtedly will be run by the ADL, and they'll be paid most of that money to snoop on people, to receive a 24-hour hotline tips about hate crimes or hate criminals and so on. And also ADL will be orchestrating a massive re-education program of America's youth from kindergarten all the way through graduate school against those seed ideas, you know, those prejudice ideas, those homophobic Christian ideas, which ADL and the government consider the cause of hate crimes in the first place. So this is staggering legislation that I don't care if they ignore me, but they can't ignore the American people and their constituents. They need to get out the simplest alerts, simplest warnings to act now before this legislation shoots through the judiciary.
Jerry from Florida, thank you for this. He says maybe the churches are silent for fear of losing tax-exempt status.
I think that's right on. I think under these restrictions, the 501c3, people like Dobson, the rest of them have to walk they have to tread very softly. But even more than that, I believe that, you see, all of this legislation worldwide it's right under the surface. It's ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, is the architect of hate crimes legislation. They proudly claim that they founded the hate crime system in Canada in 1971. Right now, they're orchestrating a 56-member nation hate crimes bureaucracy in Europe, the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. They're solidly behind the Office of Global Anti-Semitism, which is now run by the U.S. State Department, and whether it's Australia, France, England, on and on, as well as 45 U.S. states, which ADL boasts it established hate crimes systems in. ADL is solidly behind this, and these evangelical leaders, at least the leaders, know the ADL very well, because the ADL has a way of walking not only the halls of Congress, making sure all members of Congress are sufficiently pro-Israel and pro-hate law, but they also have a way of visiting these Christian organizations and letting them know that they expect them to behave in a way that is non-threatening to Jewish interests. And the fact of the matter is that all hate crimes legislation is very much a part of the Jewish agenda. In my recent article, I document how that virtually all of the Jewish community in America is solidly behind ADL in pushing the hate crimes and lobbying for the hate crimes agenda. And you see, these evangelical leaders know that if they start probing in to the philosophy, the twisted definitions, the record of hate laws, it's just absolutely permeated with Jewish activism. And this is something that a can of worms they simply don't want to open up.
All right, we got to take this break. We'll invite your calls, 800-313-9443. fairness doctrine, according to Barry Sartoro, he says he doesn't care if the House or the Senate puts a bill on his desk. He's not going to sign it. Do you believe him? I don't. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. Reverend, the old story about closing the barn door after the horse is already bolted, we're not quite there yet, but he's got his nose out the door.
Yeah.
And I am shocked because people had done a good job before with telling these creatures in Washington, D.C. that, look, you know, being Christian, I don't ever remember a time that Jesus Christ told people not to spread the word. Do you?
No.
All right. So, and I was shocked today, and I won't mention any names, but somebody was telling me that, they're going to a lesbian wedding this weekend. And I said, oh, really? And I said, and why are you doing that? Well, I don't agree with their lifestyle, but they're a couple of nice people. And I said, but you're a Christian. I said, does that preclude you from doing something like that? I mean, can't you appreciate them from afar? There's something happening here, Reverend, with the Christian morals and values. Yeah. They're being eroded away, and we've got people now that give the devil his due because they seem like behind the pulpit they're working more for him, and I call it the Latter-day Scribes and Pharisees. People are still going to their Saturday or Sunday to get their pharmaceutical prescription filled.
Yeah.
And I am just amazed. There is so much power that could be wielded from the pulpits in this
yeah.
country, but the Fed has gone in, bought them off, telling them, hey, if you still want your tax-exempt status, 501c3 rules, we'll have our spies sitting in your churches making sure. I'm reading booklets that are coming from Christian organizations telling you how to play patty cake and make nice with the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these people, Ted, am I wrong in saying this, that these people that are kowtowing now, forget all the issues that we have with Judeo-Christendom in this country, forget those that are kissing Israel's ass, excuse me, but that's what they are doing.
Yeah.
That is one issue. But now we've got this muted silence.
Yes.
Deafening silence from these good, upstanding religious leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a funny feeling, and you said this earlier to me today, that all these people are acting like sheep, and they're just following what their little leaders are saying.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem, because the people depend upon the authority, the wisdom, the guidance, the leadership of the figureheads of the evangelical movement. And so everybody's waiting for Dobson to act. Everyone's waiting for FRC to give the go-ahead. And if these kingpin organizations do not give the word, then nobody does anything. Like it says in Scripture, where there's no vision, the people perish. They wander when the shepherds do not lead them correctly. I think underlying this whole problem is that the church is extremely vulnerable to the progress, the advancement of hate crimes legislation, because it is Jewish, and these leaders know it's Jewish. They've had plenty of visits from the ADL. The ADL has made it clear that they've got a mind of their manners around the Jews and matters Jewish, or they will be called anti-Semitic, and then their flocks will really scatter, and the money will dry up, and they will have to bear the reproach of criticizing God's chosen people.
Ted, I mean, the crystal palaces and the big, huge things of brick and mortar, the rotund one down here in San Antonio.
Yes.
I mean, they're doing, are they convinced that they're doing God's bidding? Or have they just picked up, and are they just selling Christianity?
I think the latter. I think John Hagee has proven that he is a quintessential opportunist. He will make alliances with doctrines of the devil. Certainly, the whole claims of the Zionists to be able to go back into Palestine, tear the inhabitants out of their land through terrorism and violence, persecute them, throw them in concentration camps for half a century. John Hagee has made literally a pact with the devil in proclaiming all of this God's will and the will of God and blessing those people. Now, the Bible says if you bless, if you bid Godspeed to evil people, whether they're lesbians at a wedding or whether it's the government of Israel going in and violating God's law, that only through belief and through obedience and justice and mercy will God ever let the Jewish nation back into that land. If you bid Godspeed to evil men, something happens to your conscience. Something happens to your spiritual perceptions. Something happens to your ability to act in a righteous and a decisive way. And I think that the whole evangelical is just worm-eaten with compromises with the synagogue of Satan. And as a result, they fear and tremble. They quake before any threat of the ADL. That if they speak out boldly and they do educational research and tell their people what's really behind this hate laws, then they will be destroyed by the ADL. And tragically, what they're trading here is the whole future of Christian civilization. They're trading our laws, our freedoms, our First Amendment privileges, and so on, our free speech, in order to please a bunch of Antichrist Jews.
Well, and let's be clear about this. Ted, this hate crime passage, and it's signed by the abomination. Do you think legally you and I are going to be able to have a public discourse like we're having right now?
Absolutely not. You see, this present hate bill, H.R. 256, is basically an amendment and a series of amendments to an original hate bill which was passed as part of the Civil Rights Act back in 1968. And Title 18 of this foundational hate law at that time says that if anyone gives counsel, aids, abets, and so on the commission of a hate crime, then that person will be tried as a principal. Now, this is the foundation of this hate bill. You won't find that particular language in the hate bill, which you get off the government website, which is about 3 pages long. It's really very simple in its language. It just says to provide rights basically for the federal government to invade states' rights and law enforcement any time it wants to put down violent hate crimes in the states. But the fact of the matter is the present language of H.R. 256 is based upon the existing federal law, which was never had enough clout and enforcement powers to really turn into a real hate crimes law across the board for the American people. But that will all change now if H.R. 256 is passed. Suddenly, as we said earlier, the 10th Amendment first, our states' rights will be washed away as the federal government will have complete access to the states to educate against hate crimes, to arrest, to indict, and even to imprison under the federal mandate coming from Washington, D.C.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question here, and I'm going to give you – it's a multiple choice. I just used to love multiple choice questions because generally one or maybe two of the three answers were absolutely ridiculous to prompt you to give the proper response. Let me see here. In the United States, are we A – still a Christian nation, B, a Jewish nation, or C, a Muslim nation? So who are the ADL, anybody representing a synagogue or anything else, or anybody that is from, I don't see any Muslims pushing here for hate crime laws, even though that they've been sullied so much in the media. whipping up a frenzy for going to war and killing 1.2 million people in Iraq. If anybody should say, wait a minute, we need hate crime protection from the United States government and its military, but why is somebody that represents less than 2% of the Jewish population in this country, why do they have so much clout?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, one of the reasons is that this ADL, the Neighborif cabal, they're Jewish supremacists. They are a very small minority, relatively speaking, of the Jewish population in America, but they are extremely focused. They are extremely determined, basically, to fulfill the desires of the ancient Pharisees to establish world dominion under their false inspire the Antichrist. And that's why Abraham Foxman, who is the head of the ADL, is an Orthodox Jew. You know, people think, well, he's one of these atheistical, secular Jews. Don't believe it. In his book, Never Again, the Threat of the New Anti-Semitism, which came out about 3 years ago, he proudly claimed himself to be an Orthodox Jew looking forward to the coming of the Jewish Messiah, not Jesus Christ, but basically the Antichrist. And he said that he abandoned his Orthodox synagogue in Teaneck, New Jersey, back around 1985, because they weren't praying passionately enough for the state of Israel. But here's the same Abraham Foxman, an Orthodox Jew, pushing homosexuality, pushing pornography, pushing everything Antichrist.
Multiculturalism. Marry an elephant if it looks good to you. But if you're Jewish, you marry outside the faith, you're banished. Talk about racism. You can't go over to Israel and pass out a few Bibles.
No.
You'll be asked to leave, or you'll be jailed, or
can't even witness there for Christ.
So, you know, we're over here funding them $3 billion a year, fat contracts all over the place. They're basically running our country.
Yeah.
And folks, are you starting to understand why the Jews have been thrown out of how many countries, Ted?
Something like 60 countries over the last 2,000 years.
60 countries. Are you starting to understand why? This is not their country. This is a Christian nation. People believe in the Bible. They believe it's the inherent word of God as taught by Christ. And here we are, them telling us that, wait a minute, you've got to be tolerant. You've got to be multicultural. You've got to be more accepting of that which you weren't before. And here they are helping to draft the legislation. And by the way, Ted, you know, it's no surprise to this listening audience, people are getting charged with hate crimes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you think that is bad, folks, just wait till it's federally funded and they've got their minions with their authority and their badges and their guns. And imagine, Ted, I'm going to be honest with you. Whether they pass this doggone thing or not, it is going to make no difference to me. Because I, for one, I do believe that we have God-given rights, not granted to us by government, not retractable as a privilege with the corporation, that I have freedom of speech, I have my beliefs, and I'll be able to verbalize them, and I don't care what law they pass.
Yeah.
But
well, that's exactly what's on the line here. This is literally 5 minutes, maybe more like 1 minute till midnight in the history of this republic. If Obama signs those hate bills, we will now become basically a hate crimes bureaucracy, a police state, a bias-oriented justice system along with our traditional English law, exactly like Canada. Canada's a telescope in the future, exactly where we'll be here literally in months if this is passed. Could I give those toll-free numbers, John?
Please do.
Yeah, we need to take action here. I know there's a lot of people out there who've said, well, you know, let George do it. Surely there must be hundreds and thousands of calls coming in. Ted Pike's been on 41 talk shows here since January 1st. Surely there are lots of people responding. And then I douse them with this cold water report, which says, no, there's about 3, 4, 5 calls a day coming in to these crucial House Judiciary members coming into Congress. We've got to wake up and realize that George is not going to do the job of saving our freedom and saving our republic for ourselves, our children, and our grandchildren. Now, what I'd like people to do as their very first step is come to truthtellers.org. We have a powerful 10-minute video documentary. You heard the audio of that, I believe, last week, but it's much more powerful when you see all of the images there. Come to Truth Tellers right on the homepage. You can click on and watch the video. It's entitled How to Kill the Hate Bills. Now, in that video, we explain how that 2 years ago, when we all got together and thousands of people, largely from alternative talk radio, called in, we created a revolution in the House Judiciary Committee. We had 3 days in which Republicans, who usually were very laid back and indifferent, they sprang to their feet. They offered 11 different amendments trying to water down the bill, and that zeal spread out to the House of Representatives, 180 members, George Bush found out about it and then decided he promised to veto the hate bill. Ultimately, we defeated six pieces of Orwellian legislation in the last Congress, very largely out of what happened in the House Judiciary Committee. Now, we can do that again. We need to come to truthtellers.org, watch the movie, and then click on to our action page, and there you will find the 40 crucial members of the House Judiciary Committee dominated by Democrats, but we need to call those. And you can space it out over a week or 10 days or whatever, but before you go to work or during your lunch break, make a few calls every day, and before you know it, all 40 members will have heard your message. Now, I'm establishing a new program here just as today. I took a little break, frankly, this morning from all of my broadcasting and writing, and I started calling the 40 members of the House Judiciary. I was practicing what I was preaching at long last. Started calling them, and I got an idea. I said, I think I'll just ask them if they would like to watch my video. It's just like I've been asking these Christian leaders. And lo and behold, they were responsive. They said, sure, you know, we'll pass that on to our legislative experts and then the Democrats, they said, well, you know, they took it down and so on. But let me tell you, if you folks not only call in protesting these hate bills, but also say, there's an excellent video, please watch the 10-minute video against hate laws at truthtellers.org. You know what's going to happen? Well, they might ignore you for the first few callers, but when that message that there's a powerful video against hate laws, their curiosity is going to get the best of them. You're going to have the Democrats, you're going to have the staffers in both Democrats and Republicans eventually watching that video, clicking onto it, getting a real good education about what these hate bills are about. And if they start watching that video in the back rooms of these House and Senate offices all over the Capitol, we could have an exponential revolution against hate crimes laws in our Congress.
Hold on a second. When we get back, we'll put out those numbers, folks. And again, you know, it's too bad we got to keep doing this over and over and over again. But again, I will remind you, if we do not make the effort, we do not put this horse back in its stall where it belongs, then we can't complain when the thing passes and the feds are knocking on my door because I'm having a conversation with the Reverend.
Well,
the blessings that were bestowed on this nation, folks, we didn't osmotically pick them up. They didn't rub off on us. We didn't go out in the backyard one day on the lower 40 and dig them up and say, oh, voila. Ted, put out the toll-free numbers for our Congress critters in Washington, D.C., please.
Thanks, John. The toll-free number to your member of the House and Senate is 877-851-6437. Again, that toll-free number to your member of the House and Senate, 877-851-6437. And there's a backup toll number, which is 202-225-3121. Again, that backup toll number, 202-225-3121. And, of course, if you don't know your member of the House or Senate, don't worry. The Capitol operator will just take your zip code and speed you to their offices. And when you get there, tell your member of the House or Senate, please don't vote for any hate crimes legislation.
And by the way, your take action, your action alerts, if you go to truthtellers.org, it's right on the right-hand side. There's emergency alerts, take action, get educated.
Sure.
And at the you have the view text of the Local Law Enforcement Enhancement Act of 2005, the S-1145.
That's an outdated bill.
Okay.
I mean, that's last year's bill.
Okay.
But it's the same basic text.
Okay.
The longer version of this present bill.
Same people signing on to it?
That's right. Same people, same philosophy, and my objections, which I have in red print underneath the actual text of the bill, are still very relevant, very to the point.
All right. Let's take one call here. Steve in Austin. Hello, Steve.
Am I on?
You're on.
Oh, yeah, here's my comment about Jewish people. You know, the first five books of the Bible, you know, are the Torah, and they were written by Moses. And Moses was an Israelite, and he led the Israelites to the land of milk and honey, but he wasn't a Jew. He was a Levite. You know, so if these people are over there claiming that, you know, God promised the Jews the land of milk and honey, you know, Moses wasn't even a Jew. And then if you look in Genesis 10, Genesis 10, line, what is it, 3, over here talks about Ashkenaz. That's where you first find him.
Sure.
He's the firstborn son of Gomer, who's the firstborn son of Japheth. You know, and if you're going to be Semitic, you know, you'd have to be, you know, the line of Shem. So, you know, their whole story, it doesn't hold, you know. And then if they supposedly, you know, read the Torah, which is the first five books, you know, it's all right there. They ought to know that, you know.
Oh, and Ted, they do know, do they not?
Well, you know, John, this is really a dog trail off the real issue and urgency of this program. I could go into this in great detail, but
no, we're out of time.
Yeah.
Repeat those toll free numbers again, please.
Yeah, toll free number is 877-851-6437, and the toll number is 202-225-3121. Come to truthtellers.org. Watch the video and take action.
Ted, we'll have you back for updates on this thing periodically until we beat this thing back once again.
Thanks so much, John.
Well, thank you, Reverend. I appreciate all your efforts.
Couldn't do it without you, John.
Well, we couldn't do it without you. Folks, he has stood in the gap where many preachers have turned their back. Go to truthtellers.org. Take a look. Make the phone calls. It's not going to cost you anything.